Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio, 92.9 A Game. It's the morning shift. We are live out here, like the promo said, at Buckhead Landing, 3300 Piedmont Road, Northeast. It is a Falcons Friday. Hope you guys are enjoying the show so far. Thank you for taking us along on your ride this morning, wherever you are headed. We're having a lot of fun. We're going to get to more Falcons content. Got some Zach Robinson and some Raheem Morris coming up.
Yeah, but real quick, I want to tell you, Mike, Thanksgiving week, the Monday of it, November 24th, there's only one thing you should be doing. It's playing golf with Mike and me and the commissioner here, Gordon Robinson, Carl and Mike, everybody from the radio station, because it's our third annual, and mine, Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic presented by Finley Roofing. Like I said, November 24th, it'll be at Eagle Watch Golf Club in Woodstock. Sign up today. Go to 99thegame.com, click the events link. Do it now because foursomes are going quickly. Had a meeting yesterday, 2 days about it. Talked to the GM yesterday, last night about it at MGA. It is starting to take off, and those spots are going quickly. So go to the 99 Game website, events page, and you can click on the link. It's all benefiting my friends at Pets for Vets. That's November 24th.
Can't wait for that event. It's one of the favorites of the year, obviously. And I'm going to go get some new sticks at some point. We're going to make that thing happen. It is a Falcons Friday, like I talked about. Monday Night Football with Buffalo coming up. That is a 7:15 kick on Monday. If you have tickets, first of all, don't sell them to Buffalo fans. Second of all, make sure you are there bright and early. This is not the 8:20 prime time that you are used to. So get that stadium rocking, man. I did a segment yesterday up in Rochester, New York, one of our sister stations up there. I believe it's 95.7 The Bear, maybe. And they had so many questions about the atmosphere at Mercedes-Benz, the tailgate scene, things like that. They had just as many questions about the scene around the stadium as they did the actual football team, because obviously, Buffalo, they travel well. It's a whole thing when they go tailgating, and they wanted to know all about that. So a lot of conversation about what's happening around this game. People excited about the Falcons being there in primetime on Monday night against Josh Allen, the league MVP. All right, let's go back into Zach Robinson for just a minute. We talked back at 6:20, which, by the way, ding, you can catch on the podcast feed, talking about him and these rumors about Oklahoma State. Let's break into more football right now, though. Zach Robinson talking yesterday at the podium, and he wanted to talk a little bit about how he felt being on the actual sideline.
Yeah, I thought it was good, and the communication, from last year, obviously being up the booth, and then the first three games, we've always been able to communicate well as a staff, but obviously getting down there, being with the guys, feeling their energy throughout the game, I thought it was all positive. I mean, I don't know if it would have made a difference in that game, whether I was up or down, honestly, because our guys were so juiced up and ready to kind of flush the previous game out, but I'll continue to be on the field. The only thing I thought afterwards, I was like, man, I'm kicking myself because maybe should have just started the season down there, but again, glad we kind of addressed it when we did. It was fun being down there with the guys. It's obviously a different vantage point, but it's, I was used to that in LA. I was down there on the field for 5 years. So it felt very similar to those. And I thought it was positive, and we'll keep going in that direction.
Yeah. Interesting conversation there. Interesting answer from him. And he talks about being on the sideline. He hasn't coached long, right? So he really has only spent 1 year in a booth, like he just talked about. It was last year. Mm-hmm. It was interesting to me, though, to hear him say he wished he had done that all along this season. I wonder how those conversations sort of started a couple of weeks ago when they made this decision, and how many times he's thought about it leading up to the Carolina game. Because after seeing the way they played against the Commanders, I, too, wish he had done it to start the season.
Yeah, and he better get used to being on the field calling plays like that if he's going to be, the next head coach at Oklahoma State.
There you go. There you go. There you go.
I couldn't resist that.
Here
that
we
was
go.
Just like
ding,
a,
ding, round two.
It's like you put it up on a tee.
Yeah, man.
And you put the driver in my hand, and you're like, you know, it doesn't matter if you hit it in the woods or not, which, you know, I do a lot of times anyways. Yeah. I'm glad he did it. I just think it. To me, the importance of it is because of the fact that it's a young quarterback. And yeah. I think that has so much to do with it. And he can coach this team. And he's mentioned it multiple times. It's not just about the quarterback either. Not just about the communication error. If he sees something or a play doesn't work or he goes back and looks on the iPad and he sees something with the offensive line, he can go over to D-Led and they can talk to the offensive line, right? Like you – or Bijan, or even a receiver with the route, the way it's ran or something. There's so many things that you can do more of. And it's – look, I don't know about some of y'all, but personally, I have a problem at times delegating. Because, like, you know, if like when I was a producer, I would say, hey, well, you do, you know, I'll just do it because I knew exactly how I wanted it, and
sure.
Sometimes that is, you know, there's nothing when you're trying to instruct someone how to do something, how you say it could mean everything compared to if you tell someone else to say it and it doesn't translate.
Cutting out a middleman.
Yeah,
it's like the game telephone. Right, which literally is what it was like on the sideline. I'm talking to this guy who's talking to that guy who's saying it to the player, and you kind of cut that out.
Also, our business.
Yeah, and I think
basically.
That I think that it's a good point. You kind of cutting out the middleman. You can also kind of keep the flow of the game, right? Sometimes you're up there in that box. I think it's probably hard to – you put your head down. You're looking at the iPad. You're looking at all the things going on. You can't really always feel the flow of the game or have those face-to-face conversations. And that's going to be important Monday because it's like Raheem Morris said yesterday – he talked to our Dukes and Bell, and he was talking about the best way to stop Josh Allen is just to simply not let him on the field.
You don't go out there and say you're going to stop Michael Jordan.
Right.
You go out there and you stop Michael Jordan. But you stop Michael Jordan by the ways that you can, right? And what's the best way to keep Michael Jordan from scoring? Keep him next to his coach.
Wow.
So they're going to foul out Josh Allen?
Going to force him to shoot free throws the entire game?
I mean, is it hack a Josh?
Yeah, hack a Josh. Josh Allen, first of all, Michael Jordan, that's an interesting kind of way to go about it. No, but I think there's a lot to be said about this. Complimentary football does not mean that, you know, this guy, you know, this team creates a takeaway and this team converts. It can mean that, but – you know, I had this conversation with a lot of guys in Tuscaloosa last weekend. We were talking about Diego Pavia. The key to stopping Diego Pavia and this Vanderbilt offense, create takeaways, keep him off the field. Create takeaways, keep him off the field. And that's exactly what New England did to Josh Allen this past weekend. They got I think it was 3 turnovers in the first half. You know, some fumbles, some bad snaps, bad handoffs, whatever it may be in the backfield. And then when you do get him off the field and your offense comes on, no 3 and outs. Sustained drives, convert third downs, convert third and short, convert, you know, obvious passing situations. And when you get in the red zone, make sure you cash those in for 7 points. It's all the same storylines for our offense.
Can I bring something up? I want to get your take on it because it's I think you're the perfect person to talk about this, having played and especially offensively. Tempo. Mm-hmm. And when you say tempo, people go, well, that's – you're running hurry up. No. Tempo. And what I mean by tempo is do the sugar huddle thing.
Yeah.
Where they can't change personnel. Because what you can do is you – look, nothing changes in that. You can hike the ball with 1 second left on the clock, on the play clock if you want. Even when you go tempo, all you're doing is catching them with a certain type of personnel. Right?
Exactly.
And – you're keeping that personnel on the field, and but when you do that though, sometimes your offenses work better because you get in a different flow and you find something. So, I think doing kind of that, and I know it sounds weird the way I'm saying it, but like if you don't huddle at times, but you can still snap the ball with 10 seconds left because I've seen drives really take off for this offense and under Zach Robinson as well when you do stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because if you can find the right personnel pairing that you think you have a mismatch on, you can expose it for 3 or 4 plays.
Yeah. I don't think there's any doubt about that, especially when you look at this whole Ed Oliver thing that, you know, he's coming back in the fray. I don't think he's played since week 1. He looks like, and according to, you know, social media and other things, it looks like he is going to get a crack at this. If you can catch him in a situation where he hasn't played in a month, maybe not as real well conditioned, maybe you hit an explosive or two, Yeah, I'd try to keep him on the field. I know he's a game wrecker, but it doesn't mean he's in great shape. If you see him breathing heavy, hey, man, let's keep rolling. Let's get up to the line of scrimmage. You don't even have to do the muddle huddle if you don't want to. Just get up there and kind of get to play and kind of, you know, run things from the line of scrimmage. I know Michael Penix, and obviously with Zach Robinson on the field, has the opportunity to do that. Speaking of keeping Ed Oliver off balance, Zach Robinson did address the situation yesterday of him not running much play action.
No, I won't go into last year. I think we've talked about those kind of at length in terms of how we operated last year. Obviously, we were incredibly efficient and explosive last year and put up a bunch of yards. This year, you know, four-game sample, you kind of look at the flow of the games. Obviously, all those – every game is its own entity and every game's so different. You look at really two of the four, you know, Minnesota was run heavy. They were having a hard time stopping it, so there was no need to force play action. There was actually a couple times in that game I was like, man, we probably should have just kept running it. And then Carolina game, you get into kind of catch-up mode. And so really it's kind of too early, I would say, in the season to look at the statistics on those things. But it's definitely something we want to continue to increase. And obviously the flow of the game kind of dictates all that stuff. There's times when you can call 10 of them, and there's times when maybe the flow is differently and you're going tempo and different things that you're trying to present to the opposition that maybe it's a little bit less in each game. But overall, yeah, definitely we play action's a big part of our offense. Just kind of two of the four games have kind of been a little bit dictated a little bit differently.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I hate some of the narratives around play action in our offense, but I am well on board with the narrative that we need to have more play action.
Yeah, I just think people I feel like some of it early was kind of protecting what, you know, you're up front with Elijah Wilkinson and stuff and making sure that, you know, how he was going to hold up, and it seems like he's done pretty well. You know, that's the storyline that's kind of gone by the wayside is, where's Storm Norton at?
I know.
I was told by everyone that all
TQ
we
– TQ Graham back at practice.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about that yet, but, yeah, Storm Norton.
I was told by everyone all we needed to do was get to the bye week because Storm would be back. And it's –
well, you didn't hear that from me.
Well, you know.
I'm part of everyone.
I know.
So.
Well, no, you're not. You're okay. Not they. But it's funny. We haven't heard of him, and it's really not been a storyline. The storyline has been the pistol, not what we're what you know, where the right tackle position has been. But – I think he's done enough that you can add some more in. I also, though, don't want him doing what he just said about in the Minnesota game. It's forcing stuff.
Yeah,
that's what I mean. That's why I talk about the distraction when he goes in there. He's asked about play action 35 times in one media session. Like, that's becomes this thing where we're all human, and you can say, "Well, don't let it affect you," but that drives a narrative in your head that, "Am I not doing enough of this? Maybe I should." If, you know. Seems to be a talking point. Like, I think sometimes that creeps in. He forced it against Minnesota, and he probably shouldn't have.
Yeah.
I don't want him doing that. I don't want him – that's what I don't want. That's the one thing that, you know, you get worried about when you have young play callers is how much are they paying attention to stuff that's said.
Yeah, I think that, for me, the play action thing kind of gets lost. I think a lot of people look at play action and say, you know, Michael Penix is under center. They're in this, like, too tight ace formation, and the running back's going downhill to the A-gap. You're faking the handoff, and then you're trying to beat him over the top. Play action, to me, in this offense, and this is why I want to see more of it, is much more about what we saw to Kyle Pitts on the touchdown. It's the zone read kind of fake downhill, and then Kyle Pitts, you know, bluffs a block and gets out into the flat. You get the ball to him, he gets an explosive. Like, well, that's play action in this offense.
And I think the false narrative out there, and it's part of the hatred for the pistol, is that you can't do it from the pistol.
Yeah.
And you can. You can do play action from the pistol.
It's, yeah, exactly.
Just like you can from you can do it from shotgun. It's a little bit weirder, but you can do it essentially from any It's just a false narrative, and it drives you nuts. That's why people think he should be under center more.
Well, and speaking of the pistol, Saquon Barkley, the first two snaps of the game, rips off about 30 yards out of the pistol. We're going to talk about that game and all the other NFL headlines.
I was told that's not possible.
Back from the break. We're live out here at Publix in Buckhead Landing. It's the Morning Shift Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.